Amen. We're continuing our series on the will of God slash the holiness of God. Amen. Glory be to God. And so we want to pick back up with Leviticus chapter 11. Let's go back there and then we'll launch further down the road, if you will. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Leviticus 11, verse 44. He's on the right here. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. The Lord is speaking, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy." Why? Because I'm holy. "And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth." For us today, it would read for us, "You shall not make yourself unclean with any of the swarming thoughts, ideas, ideologies, ways, and thinking that swarm the earth. For I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt," and in our case, the land of sin and darkness. "And he brought us out to be our God. Thus, we are to be holy because he is holy." Amen. Let's, I'd like to reread that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'll read it out of the ESV and out of the Amplify as well. Glory be to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy," and Amplified adds, "dedicated nation, a people for his own possession." We are God's own people. Amplified says special people, God's own purchased special people. Here's a reason: "that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That we may proclaim, that we may set forth the wondrous, wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When it says that we may proclaim the excellencies, we're talking about putting on display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out. And when you're talking about displaying the virtues and perfections and the excellencies, we're talking about love. We're talking about mercy. We're talking about compassion. The joy of the Lord. The obedience to God. Being faithful to him. All of those are just some of the excellencies that we are to proclaim, to exhibit, and put on display before a watching world, to proclaim the excellencies of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, "Once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy." Hallelujah. We have received it. And so we must proclaim those excellencies. Amen? Amen. Remember, we are his people. Look at Revelation again, chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. I can't read, get enough of these scriptures that declares that we are his purchased possessions. Revelation chapter 5, let's go with verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." What did he do? He ransomed, he said, "For by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation." I told you that fits with Matthew 1 and says, "For he will save his people from their sin." So we belong to him, and therefore we are to live holy as he is holy. Glory be to God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 14, as we finish out again on that section of us belonging to him and then us living for him because he's pure, we are to live a life that is on in that same direction, headed in the same direction. 1 Peter chapter 14, look at verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Let me slow down. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior. He's saying the Holy One who called you, that sounds a lot like Leviticus, right? We just read that. He said, "I'm the Lord your God. Consecrate therefore yourself and be holy." Same concept. He said he called you and you were called. He said, "Be holy yourselves also," just as he is holy, "in all your behavior." It does not cover thoughts, words, and actions. "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." And he quotes Leviticus as well as others. Amen. So, having read this, we can summarize this by saying that the Lord God is holy. And he demands that his holiness be taken seriously by those who belong to him. Is that a fair statement? Well, let's look at how seriously does he want his holiness to be taken. Let's look at that. We're going to look at the account of Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu. So for that, let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 10. And we'll just begin this today, Lord willing, and we'll continue on Sunday. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. And I want to repeat the transition statement again that the Lord God is holy, and he demands that his holiness be taken seriously by those who belong to him. Look at Nadab and Abihu. You have Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange, profane, unaltered fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. Strange, profane fire. Verse 2. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy." and before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron therefore kept silent. Again, the lead-in statement before we came over to this was, to those, the Lord God is holy, and he demands that his holiness be taken seriously. Seriously. By those who belong to him and those who approach him. Nadab and Abihu died because they offered strange, profane, and unauthorized fire. Let's begin to take this apart just for a few moments as I stand before you. Verse 1 again. Now it says Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. If you're taking notes, who were Nadab and Abihu? Well, they were the sons of Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. They were nephews of Moses. Moses was their uncle because Aaron and Moses were brothers. They were Aaron's oldest sons. He had other sons beside Nadab and Abihu. He had Eleazar and Ithamar, two other sons, but these were his oldest sons. Just a quick look at, Exodus 6:23 right quick. Exodus 6:23. Just to kind of back that up. Exodus 6:23. Glory be to God. Aaron took as his wife Elisheba, the daughter of Amminadab and the sister of Nashon, and she bore him, who's him? Aaron. Elisheba, the wife of Aaron, bore Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, look at the order, they're the elders, and Eleazar and Ithamar. Okay, so there are the four sons, and out of those two, Nadab and Abihu were the oldest. Okay, you can turn back to Leviticus. So, who were they? They were sons of Aaron, nephews of Moses, the oldest sons of Aaron. They were newly consecrated in the priest's office. They were newly consecrated. Look at Leviticus chapter 8. So those are two chapters before. I'm going all through this for a reason. I want to set this up. Who were they? Sons of Aaron. The oldest sons of Aaron, nephews of Moses. They were newly consecrated to the priestly office. Look at verse 30. As they're going through the long ceremony, then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. He says, so he consecrated. I mean, they were being set apart for this office. 31. Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent and so forth. And he gives them all of the things to do. Verse 32, remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up and so forth. Look at verse 33. And you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are complete. So they've been consecrated and ordained to the priestly office. It says, and at the end of 33, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. Verse 36, and Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. So they were newly ordained to the priestly office. They were sons, the oldest sons of Aaron, the nephews of Moses. They were newly ordained and consecrated to the priestly office. Not only that, they were two men of renown in the country before all the people. They were well known and they were much honored by God. So they were well known and they were much honored by God. Look at Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Glory be to God. Exodus chapter 24.
We're going to have a quiz on this at the end of the... No, I'm just kidding. Exodus 24, verse 1. But just quickly reviewing again, Nadab and Abihu were the oldest sons of Aaron, nephews of Moses. They were newly consecrated to the priestly office, and they were men of renown throughout the country, and they were much honored by God. Verse 1, Exodus 24. Then he said to Moses, the Lord God did, speaking to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, and look at this, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Skip down to verse 9. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up. So as you can see, they were named specifically. There was Nadab and Abihu, and then the rest of the 70 elders. Right. So the fact that the Holy Spirit, through the writer Moses, took the time to name them lets you know that they were honored by God. So this Nadab and Abihu, they were men of great repute, of great honor, and were known and were much honored by God. So Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, they thus were then the four eminent men of renown amongst all the people of Israel. Okay, let's go back to verse 1 now, Leviticus chapter 10. Let's continue with verse 1. So Nadab and Abihu, I believe, and over repeat myself again, were Aaron's eldest sons, Moses, nephews of Moses, newly consecrated to the priestly office. They were men of renowned and much honored by God before all the people. Let's go back to verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered strange and profane and unauthorized, I like all those words, fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So what was their sin? Well, the word just says that they offered strange, profane, unauthorized fire, which God commanded them not to offer. He had not commanded that. So let's take a closer look at this. Look at Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. And look at verse 8. Am I going too fast? All right. Leviticus chapter 6, look at verse 8. Again, what was their sin? Their sin was an offering of strange, profane, and unauthorized fire. By the way, some people want to ask the question, well, what exactly was the strange, unauthorized, and profane fire that they offered? Word of God didn't say. So there's no need to even start that. He didn't choose to tell us. It's irrelevant. The fact is that it was strange and profane and unauthorized fire, which I did not command. I didn't authorize that. That's all we need to know. Look at verse chapter 6, verse 8. Did I tell you Leviticus 6? Yes. Verse 8. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, command Aaron and his sons saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. You hear that? Now remember that was they were offering. They were offering. Okay, so this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth, on the altar, all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. See that kept burning on it? Keep that in your mind. Mark that in your mind. Skip down to verse 12. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. Then it adds, it shall not go out. You see that? Keep reading. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning,
And he shall arrange, he being the priest, shall arrange the burnt offering on it, and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13, fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. Now, I want to read a commentary note on this from Jeremiah Burroughs. He comments, now, that was, it seems, God's intention that therefore they should make use of that fire and that fire only. Is that a fair statement? If he kept saying, don't keep burning the fire, don't let it go out, don't let it go out of tongue, put wood on and keep it going, it would seem to be pretty clear that that's the fire that you're to use. Because I've commanded you to keep that fire going. Okay? He said, remember, God sent down fire from heaven upon the altar. You say, well, let's read that. Look at Leviticus chapter 9. Slide over. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. You there? Okay. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Look at this. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. That means that the Lord God accepted the altar, their offering. So the fire comes from the Lord down in the altar and consumes the offering. That fire is the fire he's talking about in chapter 6 that is to be kept continually burning. And it shall not go out. You can keep adding with the commentary. God sent down fire from heaven and gave them a charge to keep that fire on the altar constantly and never to let it go out. So it seems that because he has sent down fire from heaven upon the altar and gave them power to keep that constantly, it should only be that fire, no other. That's their sin, therefore, an offering of strange fire. Ms. Palmer shook her head in affirmative. Yes. Can you understand that? They use other fire. I gave you the fire that you're supposed to use. And I commanded you that when it comes down, boom, keep it burning. Add the wood on and you do your offering. You worship me with that fire. Well, they came with something different. He's holy. And when you profane his holiness, he can, exonerate. That's not the word I want. He can protect his holiness by demonstrating his wrath. Remember, the demonstration of his wrath is also a demonstration of his holiness. Because he is a holy God, he's a God of wrath. He has to be. Because a holy God is pure, therefore that which is impure, he exhibits his wrath against. All right, let's go back to Leviticus. We're going to just a little bit more, and we're going to close in a few. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 10. Look at verse 2. Verse 1 again is, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange, profane, and unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Verse 2, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died for the presence of the Lord. So the fire comes out. Now, as a commentary, sometimes I read too fast. He says, some think that this fire came from the altar. Sure, I thought it did. But surely it could not be an ordinary fire that did consume Nadab and Abihu at this time. You will see that the bodies of Nadab and Abihu were not consumed by the fire, not even their clothes. And I've read this a ton of times.
Didn't realize that. They were killed by the fire, and yet their clothes were whole. Therefore, it was not an ordinary fire. It was some sort of celestial fire that struck them and slayed them. So look at verse 4. So you said, well, where is all this coming from? Look at verse 4, Leviticus 10, verse 4. You can read it for yourself. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, come near, carry out your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp. So if there was no body all consumed and burnt up, there wouldn't be anything to carry out. Not only look at verse 5. So they came near and carried them in their coats. Wow. Out of the camp, as Moses had said. Don't we read too fast? Fire came and consumed them. So their clothes and bodies were not consumed, only they were killed by the fire. They were struck with a sudden death, and that in the presence of the Lord. That's amazing. But look at verse 2 again. And fire came where? From the presence of the Lord. And consumed it, not from the altar. We automatically think because it was an altar, you know, if you're reading too quickly, you would think that it came from the altar out from them. But it came directly from the presence of the Lord. Now, we just read in Leviticus chapter 9, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering. And the pieces of fat. So the fire came from before the Lord the first time, listen, to consume the sacrifices. We just read that. Second time it came, it consumed the sacrificers because they offered strange fire. He's a mighty God. When fire came in Leviticus 9, it came in approval to consume the sacrifices. Because it said that it burnt offering and the pieces of the fat on the altar. It consumed the burnt offerings and the pieces of fat. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Yes, to honor God. He accepted the offering. It was well pleasing. But the next time it came out, it consumed the sacrificers. And not because he was well pleased, but because he was not well pleased. It came down in wrath. God, the commentary says, sent down fire from heaven and gave them a charge to keep that fire on the altar constantly and never let it go out. So it seems he had sent down fire from heaven upon the altar and gave them power to keep it. That fire constantly. It should be only that fire and no other. And therefore, that was their sin. And so he came down and consumed them. They were struck in the presence of the Lord. And it's something, too, because if you think about it, they were struck suddenly. And he commands them to carry those bodies out. And we won't start that today. We will stop now. But you'll see that he says in verse 5, so they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses has said. We'll get to that. Out of the camp, as Moses has said. Amen. We're going to stop right there and we can meditate that. Father God, we thank you for your being holy, our Father and our God. You are very serious about your holiness. Just think how many of us, your children, have approached you incorrectly, and you could have consumed us by sending fire from your presence. But instead, you continue to have mercy and grace and mercy and grace. How many times have we offered praise and worship with our offering from our so-called hearts that were not proper, that was unauthorized, that was strange and profane, instead of
being holy. You know, we need to understand that just because you don't consume us as you did Nadab and Abihu, don't mean that we're okay. Amen. Let our worship be gospel worship. Worship that pleases you. Let it be a sacrifice that is well pleasing to you, from our hearts to yours. And may your fire come down and consume the sacrifices rather than the sacrificers. And this we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.